service. Yeah, if you were expecting it to be taken by our rector, Dave, well, you will know that last week we were concentrating on those words in Corinthians that tell us that if one part of the body suffers, all suffer. Little did we know that 36 hours later there would be a tragic road accident in Oxford which took the lives of 4 people. As far as St. Andrews are concerned, 2 of their members lost a loving daughter-in-law and 3 grandchildren. Their son and the youngest granddaughter, Penny, are in critical care in hospital in Oxford. With that in mind, Dave particularly wanted to be down at St. Andrews this morning, leaving me here. So before we start our worship, let's just have a few moments of silence for you to lift before God the grandparents, Sue and Kevin Powell, their daughter, granddaughter Penny, who's making good progress, though still in traction in hospital, and their son Josh, whose injuries include a brain injury, which means that he's not taking in or remembering things, and so we particularly need to pray for him, not just now, but throughout the week, that God will heal his brain and heal all aspects of their bodies. Lord, may this family know your strength and your comfort at this time, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And because Dave is not here, this service is a communion by extension. Those of you who may not be familiar with that service, it means that the bread and the wine were consecrated by Dave at our midweek service on Thursday. And so the wafers, the consecrated wafers, have been brought to us this morning so that we too may share in communion. So, we are the church. And as we reflect on what it is to be learning to be God's kingdom people, let's just be still. We're not allowed to sing, but the words will be on the screen as Martin plays for us. And in our hearts we can sing and reflect on the fact that the Holy One is here. Lord, we know that you are all-powerful. We know that your power is moving throughout people, throughout this land, and yet we feel so powerless ourselves. And so we pray that we may know your presence with us, your empowering in our lives. We pray that you would walk with us, that we may walk with you, that together this land may be healed, this land may be your land, and your kingdom may be built. And so we ask that you would enable us to set aside the cares and worries of the week. We would give this time to you and ask that we may worship you as you desire this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may wish to remain seated, or you may like to stand as we do a responsive psalm, or at least parts of Psalm 5, and I will say the words in yellow, and we will all say together the words in white. Listen to my words, Lord, consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness. Make your way straight before me. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. You may like to sit again at this point. And we know that though we want to be righteous, we aren't righteous. Though we want to do the right thing, we sometimes do the wrong thing. And if I may quote from one other psalm, probably you only know that Psalm 119 is the longest psalm and the longest chapter in the Bible. Don't worry, I'm not going to read all of it. But today we are particularly looking at the parable of the lost sheep from Luke's Gospel and the last verse of Psalm 119 says this: I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. And so we're going to acknowledge that perhaps we have strayed like a lost sheep as we come to our time of confession and say together, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things that we ought to have done, and we have done those things that we ought not to have done. But you, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may live a disciplined, righteous and godly life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who are truly sorry, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we will hear that reading from Luke's Gospel.
The reading is taken from Luke, chapter 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there is still more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents and over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, take my words and our thoughts, and may all be acceptable to you, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Back in the Dark Ages, you know, when it was fashionable and cool to own your own black and white television, then in those days, there was a fashion called mixed ability teaching. The idea was that perhaps the more able could reinforce their own knowledge by explaining things to those who were struggling, and those who were struggling would get perhaps a little bit of one-to-one attention and make better progress. Most maths teachers at the time, including me, were saying, "Well, that may be all right for your subject, but it doesn't work in mine." However, when we look at this parable, and as Jesus was talking, he certainly had a mixed ability audience. He certainly had some of his followers who were eager to take in every word that he spoke, and he also had those who wanted to trip him up and catch him out and bring about his fall. He certainly had the Bible scholars, and they were, of course, very learned, but he also had some of the ordinary people. Perhaps they were still trying to work on other things, and they were perhaps what the Bible might have called illiterate and uneducated sinners. I suppose it's a bit like that today as well, because you can stand up and preach and you really don't know whether you've got Bible scholars in front of you, or indeed at home, or indeed picking it up online, or whether again you've got people trying to work out what's the difference between the Old and the New Testament. A very mixed potential audience. So what do we have? We have the teachers of the law, the academics. We have the uneducated sinners. We have the established money, the Pharisees. And we have the nouveau riche, the highly unpopular tax collectors. We have the know-it-alls who didn't know it all. And we have those who only knew that they didn't know anything at all. And so Jesus told stories, and if you read the rest of this particular chapter as Luke records it, you'll find that not only is there the story of the lost sheep, but he follows it up with a story of a lost coin, and he follows that up with the story of the lost son. But in each case, the one thing that we do know is that those things that were lost could not find themselves. If a sheep strays away from its fold, it will bleat and it will make a noise, but it'll still walk the wrong way. It needs the shepherd to go and find it. If we look at the lost coin, quite possibly this was not just a piece of money but had sentimental value too. It may well be that the coin had been given to the lady as a bride by the bridegroom. Very often in those days the bridegroom would give coins to the bride so that if anything happened to him, she would have a reserve. So this money was not just for spending, but it had a sentimental value too. And the lost son. You remember at the end of that story, the father comes running to put his arms around the son who was now found. So in each case, rather than focusing on what is lost, we could retitle them focusing on what is found and the one who found it. We have a loving God who reaches out and runs towards each one of us to pick us up, enfold us in his loving arms and look after us. So, what about this story? Shock horror for the decent church going people of Jesus' time, the Pharisees who were striving to be good enough for God. But it was a real joy to the outcasts to know that God would come to find them lovingly. It's not about striving to reach God, which we could never do, but it is all about God loving each one of us so much that he will come down to us, meet us where we are, pick us up, and lovingly enfold us in his arms. We do not need to strive, we merely need to receive. And so as we come to the end of our series on learning to be God's kingdom people, we are to go out and we are to look out for those who are lost, those sheep who have gone astray. And as a sermon always has three good points, and there are only two types of lost, straying people, you may think you're only getting two-thirds of a sermon this morning. However, here we go. Straying types. And type one, well, they are, as you would expect, the outsiders, the mission field, the people who have perhaps never shown any interest in examining the claims of God or Jesus on their lives, people who are simply not interested in religion and have gone astray. And some of these people may be clearly outside the law. Yes, we can imagine the lost sheep that we are called to go out to, and they may be the people who are stealing cars, they may be dealing in drugs, they may be involved in human trafficking and modern slavery. We understand all that well outside the law, but some of them may seem perfectly ordinary, decent folk who just aren't interested in religion. But let's be clear that nobody is beyond the love of God. Nobody has done anything which Jesus' death on the cross is not capable of getting forgiveness for. Jesus' forgiveness through the cross is there for all, whether they're perfectly ordinary, respectable folk, or whether they are criminals who really do need a life sentence in prison. It's sometimes salutary to reread Romans if you haven't read it before. Romans chapter 1 and verse 29 gives a list of these people who have gone astray. And he says that they may be guilty of greed or envy or murder or deceit. And it's all in the same list. Nothing is so bad that it cannot be forgiven through Jesus. God is reaching out to each one of them, and if our strapline says we are partnering with God, then perhaps we need to be prepared to be used to reach out to them too. We will reach out to different people, and we will reach out in different ways. For some, we may just quietly be praying for them. For others, we may be listening to them as they pour out their difficulties. We may even talk to them. We may go to visit them if they're lonely. We may do something practical, offer to do somebody's shopping, stand aside in a queue. Gosh, we might even invite them to visit a church building and worship with us. No, they may say they're not interested in religion, but you know, somewhere deep down inside every single person, there is a God-shaped hole which can only be filled by Jesus. Yep, afraid so. That hole can only be filled if the people hear the good news that the past can be forgiven, that there is a loving Saviour, that peace and a new life is possible. It's there, it's waiting for each one of us, and the only message that we may want to give is that we don't run away from the shepherd who is trying to find us. So if that's type one, who are the type two straying types? Well, here's the bad news. The other straying types are the insiders. That's me, and that's you. I guess we need to go back to Romans. Yes, it's Romans again. It's Romans chapter 3 this time. Mind you, I think it was Luther who said all Christians should learn Romans off by heart. So there's your homework for the week. Should keep you busy. But in Romans 3, Paul, writing to the Christians there, says this: all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. All have sinned. I have, you have, we have. When did you last stray and become a lost sheep? Now, if you're anything like me, in answering that question, you may well need to refer to your watch rather than your diary. We have all strayed, and we all go on straying, but God goes on rushing out to find us and save us and bring us back to Him. Back in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah said, yes, God will reach out to us. And in Isaiah's word, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So, this brings us to the end of our series on learning to be God's kingdom people. I wonder what you and I have learned through this series. Well, we've learnt to look up. We've been encouraged to form holy habits. We've learnt that worship is not just a Sunday morning, but is the whole of our lives. And we have been encouraged to respond to the love of Jesus Christ for each one of us. We have been encouraged to look in, to serve and value others, all those around us. And we have been encouraged to look out, to love others extravagantly, to work for justice. There's a big one. And today, to seek the lost. I guess for some of us, one of those things will leap out much more than the others, and that's fine, because we are all different and we will all do, if you like, the thing that God has laid on our hearts. Together, I hope, we will cover the whole spectrum. We may all be lost sheep, but there is an amazing truth which we can listen to as we hear the words and the music of Amazing Grace.
Yeah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bring you this morning our prayers for your world. At a time when the world could be coming together in joint enterprises for humanity and creation, we pray against division spread by the rise of the far right, the far left, and rampant nationalism. Help us all see that together we stand a chance to improve the lot of many, but that divided, humanity and your creation suffers. Into this we pray for the US election, the biggest, most powerful economy and country soon goes to the polls. We have stood by and witnessed the rise of ages-old tensions, divisions and prejudices over the past years. We pray for good sense and a reduction in rhetoric and hot air. We pray for a commitment on behalf of the US to be part of the solution to worldwide problems. And this morning, Lord, we lift to you the teacher beheaded in France, killed for doing his job, inspiring young people to think. Comfort his family, his friends, and his students as they all mourn a much loved teacher. We pray that terrorism will not prevail. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We turn our thoughts to our own little part of the world and pray for the Brexit talks, or the lack of them. Again, good sense and compromise is needed. Help those in discussions and those steering them to be endowed with your wisdom. We pray for the whole country, for the resolve to bear whatever the future holds for the UK, and for forgiveness between the differing factions. We pray for healing and journeying together. At a time of rise in the number of COVID-19 infections, we pray for the leadership of the country as it seeks to walk the tightrope between controlling the disease and economic decline and problems. Lord, give them wisdom and insight into the multiple complex issues and enable them to make the best possible decision. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Closer to home, Lord, we pray for the Powell family. We pray for those who died. We commend Zoe, Phoebe, Simeon, and Amelia to God's loving, welcoming arms. We pray for those who have survived, for Josh and baby Penny. We pray for their healing and recovery from the considerable physical and mental trauma. We pray for strength over the coming months, for support and comfort as they grieve and come to terms with the loss of their family. We pray for the whole extended family, for Josh and Zoe's parents, and for all the friends who grieve the loss of Zoe and the children. For comfort and peace and support in these dark times. We pray for the emergency service crews who attended the scene, the memories of which they will carry for life, which cause pain, sorrow, anguish and trauma. Strengthen them, comfort them, to give them the strength to go on doing their heroic jobs. And Lord, we pray for the lorry driver, for his injuries, the shock and trauma that he is experiencing and which will haunt his memories day by day. Lord, give comfort. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And finally, Lord, we bring to you, we lift to you in a moment of silence, all those who we know who are struggling at this time, for those who are anxious, stressed, depressed, struggling with illness, or grieving the loss of a loved one. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So now we move into a time of communion. If I get the slide the right way around. So let us join together. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Now, if you would like to stand for the peace. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to just turn on the spot and offer the peace to the people around you.
I mentioned that we were at the end of one series, and next week we will be starting a new series based on this book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And Janet, I thought that as I was down to lead next week, I ought to try and read it. I've got about two-thirds of the way through. Margaret reckoned that at the speed I read, I should have started it in June, but it's quite easy reading, and it really is very good. I would commend it to you based on the two-thirds that I've read. Janet.
Please be seated. It's not going to take that long, but it just means that I can then... yes, this book, we are going to, as Peter has just said, I needn't repeat all of that, we're going to start looking at it next week. For those who are not in a life group, Diana Hunt and myself are going to sort of lead us through this book week by week, starting a week on Tuesday at 11 o'clock in the morning, and then it will we'll be meeting at Diana's house. All the details are down here. I've left a sheet. If anybody would like to join us, I left a sheet out last week, and went about 7, I think, at the moment. So if anybody else would like to come, then please sign, and we'll be in touch with you. And but as I say, I've read the book, and it's part of the big church read. So it's not just a local thing, but certainly throughout the diocese, other churches are reading it as well. Do you remember at the beginning of the service, we started with "Be still for the presence of the Lord"? I was stood at the back at that stage, and there was a real hush and a stillness came sort of over, descended as it were, over this place. And that's what this book is about. The ruthless elimination of hurry. Being still before God. And, because we're all caught up in hurriness. But this helps us to work through ways that are right for us as individuals, as God's son, God's daughter, to work in us this stillness to be with him. Thank you, Peter.
And I publish The Bands of Marriage between William George Vine of the Church of St. Mary the Virgin Lawford and Annabel Phoebe Helen Crowther of this parish. Now this is for the third time of asking, so if any of you know any reason why they should not be joined together in marriage, you are to declare it. That looks like good news. They can get married. Let's pray for them. Lord, the source of all true love, we pray for this young couple. Grant to them joy of heart, seriousness of mind, and reverence of spirit. That as William and Annabel enter into the oneness of marriage, they may be strengthened and guided by you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we move into celebrating communion. At supper with his disciples, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took a cup, and after giving you thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given you thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The Church of God, of which we are members, has taken bread and wine and given thanks over them according to our Lord's command. These holy gifts have been brought to us that we too may share in the communion of the body and blood of Christ. So as our Saviour taught us, we can pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We do have some gluten-free wafers, so if you need or want gluten-free, please do indicate that as I come round. The body of Christ keep you in eternal life. So whether here or watching online, we are the body of Christ. We are God's hands and feet on earth. We are the church. So we pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. So as we come to the end of this time of worship, we remember that all our lives are worship. So whether here in the building or at home, watching and taking part in the worship online, may the love of the Lord Jesus draw each one of us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. And the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us. And remain with us always. Amen. So, friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. I should just say that we normally go out of that door and there are sanitizing, hand-washing things down here.
Sorry, folks, I just forgot to say that we have, there are no copies, further copies of this book at the back of church. But there's none in the box there because I've had a look. But if you do want a copy, if you do want to join us, then just let me know and I'll get one to you this coming week. Thank you. Bless you.